So if you have your Bibles tonight, James chapter 2. James chapter 2. I want you to notice verse 10. I'm going to start in verse 9, and then the key verse is verse 10. Notice if you would. For if ye have respect to persons, you commit sin. Now, respect to persons is prejudice. It can be prejudice of a lot of different things. I don't have respect to people that don't have as much money as I have. That's respect to persons. That's prejudice. It could be color. It could be intelligence. It could be a school that you go to. It could be all kinds of things. A neighborhood that you live in. I don't want to be around those people over there. It could be the car that you drive. It could be a lot of things that cause you to feel like you're better than someone else. And he says, so this passage said you should not have respect of persons. Now listen very carefully. A lot of people don't think that that is very bad. So notice the verse that follows. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So he said, look, you can say, well, I don't curse, or I don't run around with the wrong kind of friends. But your prejudice, he says, you commit sin. He said, look, you can't pick your sin. So notice in the outline, we must realize any breaking of the law makes us guilty of sin. So we can't pick one thing and compare it to somebody else and say, I don't do what you do, so I'm not a bad person. Or I'm not a person that is that's breaking the law. I'm not a sinner. I'm not as bad a sinner as you are. Now notice if you would, A, there are no degrees of sin before God. Okay? Now watch this. If I sat up here and had a wrong thought, I just got upset. Saw somebody come in, bitterness sprang up in my heart, but I didn't say anything to anybody, nobody knew anything. Or somebody else did some terrible sin, and everybody knew about that. I could say, well, I'm not as bad as he is. That's you looking at someone else and using this prejudice mindset. I'm not as bad as they are. And the Lord is trying to get us to understand, as my children, I want all of you to do what's right, no matter what anybody else does. And don't compare yourself to somebody else. And don't compare yourself that my sin is not as bad as their sin. Okay? Remember, the Bible says, whoso looketh upon a woman to lust after in his heart hath committed adultery already with her. So whether we do it physically or mentally, it's still the same to God. Now, obviously, notice if you would, B, obviously, some sins carry a greater penalty than others. But just one sin makes us a sinner permanently. So, sure, if you take a ride on red, and there's a sign up there that says no ride on red, that may be a $100 fine. But if you're caught driving 150 miles an hour on the toll road, as one guy was in his vet, and he gets put into jail and his license suspended, and he gets a $1,000 fine or whatever his fine was, you can see that one driving penalty of sin is much greater than another driving penalty. And so we can't look at all the sins and say they're equal, but they all make us sinners. And so if you and I are trying to do what's right, but we decide this is not such a bad sin, and we tolerate it and put it in our pocket, we still lose the connection of the Heavenly Father saying, I'm listening. Remember, the Lord's arm is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins and iniquities have separated between you and your God that he will not hear. So the idea is that sin separates no matter what size it is, and no matter what kind it is. So you and I have to learn, and part of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 48, is this. He says, I want you to be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. And that's mature. And spiritual maturity is, I'm not going to tolerate any sin in my life. I'm not going to think wrong, and I'm not going to talk wrong. But some sins are far worse than that. But any of them separate us from God hearing our answers to prayer and answering us. So notice, if you would, see, no sinner can go to heaven without putting his trust in Christ and being saved. So any sin will keep you out of heaven. It'll send you to hell. Notice D, no Christian can build a good testimony if he tolerates one sin in his life. And that's why he said, for whosoever keep the whole law, and notice, and yet offended one point, he is guilty of all. So every sin can be made right. We look at the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. We forgive me. I had that wrong thought. Would you forgive me? Lord, I said that to my coworker. I was sharp, mean-spirited. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? All of us have an opportunity to make the wrongs right. And that's what he's saying is, look, your purpose is not to sin as you become a child of God, because you've repented of your sin and become a Christian. Now live like it. Now, the book of James is about this thought. Look at verse number 18, if you would. This is the key verse for the book of James. If you don't look at this verse and apply this verse to other passages, you will get confused spiritually. Because James is a pastor, and he's trying to get his people to understand how bad individual sins are. He's trying to get them to understand that. So notice, if you would, verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Showing your faith is the key thought to the book of James. So he is not, it's not a book on doctrine and how to be saved. It's a book of doctrine on how to show your salvation. And so if you keep that in mind, notice, if you would, at the very first, look over in verse 1 of chapter 1. He says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He doesn't say count it joy when a sinner falls into temptations. It's for Christians. The book is written to Christians. And he's trying to get us to understand you can't tolerate any sin in your life. And when tribulation comes, you stand up and do what's right. But always purpose in your heart to have a clean heart, because somebody's watching. Everybody in this room, somebody's watching you. And they're noticing if you're real or not. And so notice in verse 18, yea, a man may say, that's the difference. I'm a Christian, but you can tell it if he is by his works. Now notice, if you would, look over, if you would please, in chapter number 1, and notice, if you would, verse number 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, again, there's the appearance of being religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. He's not saying he's not saved. He's saying it has no power. Vain, it's empty. That's what he's saying. So you can't curse at work publicly or under your breath and have somebody hear it and think that you're a good Christian. You can't be at school and say something you ought not to and have people that hear it say, there's a good Christian. Jehoshaphat should have known that Ahab was not even saved whenever he said, look, would you find a prophet? Let him ask of God if we should go to war or not. And he gets the prophets of Baal. And they say, yes, go to war. All of them did. And he looked back at Ahab and said, do you have any godly prophets? Do you have any prophets of Jehovah? And he said, there's one guy, but I hate him because he always prophesies against me. What does that tell you? He's out of God's will. He doesn't know the Lord, or one of the two. And so he didn't pick the right friend, because he even told him what he was, that he wasn't right with the Lord. I hate that guy. He's a preacher, and he's preaching. He tells what Jehovah says, but he never is good for me, because Ahab never did right. And so the prophet said, look, if you can, he looked up and said to Ahab, says, do whatever you think is best. Go ahead and go. All your prophets have said it's good. And he looks right at Micaiah and said, Micaiah, tell me the truth. What did God really say? Well, God said you weren't going to come back alive. See, there I told you, Joshua. He never prophesied any good toward me. He didn't come back alive. And so it's imperative that you and I learn the lessons we can from Scripture. And the book of James is about letting people see Jesus in you. All of us. And there are certain things that we can see and say, that person's real, that person is not. Now, can a Christian look like the world and still be saved? Absolutely. Because your salvation is a gift and it's never taken back. That's why Christian liberty is so important. Christian liberty is we have the liberty to live like we want, but we give up a lot of liberties that we could do that would satisfy our flesh to please our Savior. So Christian liberty is simply the word that I can live the way I want, but I'm not going to do it because I want to live the way He wants. That's Christian liberty. And so here you and I are, we're trying to show Christ to other people that there are certain times when maybe I wouldn't do something that I could do because it might give the wrong appearance. The other day, we were at the store. I don't remember where we were. We were at a restaurant. And I know where we were. We were out in Percival and going to a restaurant. And it was a barbecue restaurant. And you paid for a drink. And then they had the drinks in the little, like the cooler that you would have, like a Coke machine. But it had a door on it. And so Janet got tea or something like that. And so I went over and I was looking over and I couldn't find what I wanted. Then I saw a bottle of, what is it called? I liked it. I picked it up and brought it out. And I set it down on the table and Janet says, wow, that looks like you're going to drink alcohol today. And I went, I forgot about it. I said, I don't want that to be a testimony, so I went back and put it back. It was a cream soda. I didn't think about that. One time, my wife, Susan, she went into the store and brought something out. I said the same thing to her. I saw it, and I said, that looks like you're going to go drinking. And she says, okay, I'm sorry. So instead of taking it back and getting a Coke, she took it back and put a brown bag around it and brought it out. I said, honey, that's worse. She said, oh, it is. I said, never mind. Just close the door and put it in the car and we'll go. And what I'm trying to say to you is testimony is important. I could have a cream soda, but I want to be careful. And so I'm reminded that Christian liberty is you can do what you want. You can say what you want, but you ought to say what's right. And so notice here in this passage, in verse number 18, yea, a man may say thou hast faith. Okay? I'm a Christian. A man may say that, and I have works. I try to do good. Show me thy faith without thy works. Show me your faith without doing anything. Just sit there and show me your faith. Well, I have to show you that I'm real. And I will show thee my faith by my works. So, show is a key word to the book of James. Now, notice with me if you would, look back in verse number 12 of chapter 1. This is, keep in mind, written to Christians. So you must keep that in the back of your mind. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. No sinner is going to receive the crown of life. Only Christians are. So you and I have to understand this book is for Christians. Now notice with me, if you would, in the outline, we must realize that we show our salvation by our good works. A, without good works, others would not know that we are saved. Take your Bible and turn to Titus, if you would. Titus, just a little bit back before Hebrews. And notice, if you would, in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. OK, Okay? Titus 3 and verse 5. Now watch this. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Okay? So we didn't earn it by good works. But then notice down verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, they've been saved, might be careful to maintain good works. Why? These things are good and profitable unto men. So again, Titus was concerned about the testimony of the people. It was written to him. And so Paul is trying to get Titus to understand it's important the way you teach your people. Well, now let's go back to the outline and notice this. B, if we have no good works, we will not have the assurance of our salvation. One of the first things that happens when a person decides, I'm going to do what I want. I'm a Christian, I know it, but I don't really want to do what's right all the time. He's eventually going to lose the peace of his salvation. That's one thing that God pulls back from. The Holy Spirit goes silent in our heart, and we're not sure we're saved. And so there's a lot of doubts when we don't live right. But it doesn't mean we're not saved. It means either we're not saved or we're not right with the Lord. And so that's the reason why it's important for you to go back to a place when I know I was saved. I trust the Lord as my Savior. Then that means I'm not right with the Lord. And I need to get rid of that sin. Notice, if you would, see in the outline. He gives a little bit of an example here. Notice, see in the outline in verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. In other words, you have a head knowledge that there's one God. Okay, watch this. Notice he says, the devils also believe and tremble. Now, they know God is real, but they don't believe in Him. Notice the outline. Devils believe in God, but it's only a head knowledge. They would never trust God to save them. They support Satan, and they're trying to further his agenda. So none of the demons of hell are ever going to get saved. They've already made up their mind, we love our master, Satan. They're going to all be in hell with Satan. But Satan is not going to leave them. He's going to be a prisoner just like they are. Matter of fact, take your Bible and turn to Revelation 20 and verse number 10. And I want you to see this verse. Revelation 20 and verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them, people in this world, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. He's not ruling and reigning in hell. He's a prisoner in hell, like everybody else. Look in verse 1 of chapter 20. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So Satan is as far away from hell as he can get tonight. He has his own agenda. Does anybody know where he is tonight? Revelation chapter 12 tells us. He's in heaven accusing all of us. And so understand tonight, all of the demons of hell are accusing us to the people of the world, trying to point out all of our sin. That's why James was writing and say, don't give him any ammunition. Live right. Show yourselves a godly servant of the Lord. And that's what the book of James is about. Now, notice if you would, Roman numeral 3 in the outline. Abraham believed in God with his heart and was saved. Now, you're going to notice this. Now we're going to get to the point where the salvation is sort of explained. But you remember, it's about showing it. Number 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now, he wasn't saved because he did that, but notice it was an expression of his faith. Now watch this. In verse number 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now, imputing something is to mark it down. It's an accounting term for mark it down in the books. So Abraham believed the Lord, and that belief, he put his faith and trust in the Lord. That belief was proof that God said, okay, I see you believe in me. You put your faith in me. I'm going to mark it down. You're my child. And you can see that in Hebrews chapter 11. Well, notice if you would, in verse number 23, and he was called the friend of God. Now, notice in the outline, Abraham believed in God and with his heart and was saved. Salvation was imputed to him. He didn't earn it. He also became the friend of God. Now, take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 4, if you would. Romans chapter 4. And I want you to see this key verse that ties back in. Notice, if you would, in verse number 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. He can brag, but not before God. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So it is, notice verse number 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So it's very clear in scripture that James is talking about showing your faith. And he uses Abraham as an example. And Abraham showed his faith by being willing to offer his son on the altar. But his faith was what saved him, not the work. So notice, if you would, in the outline, Roman numeral 3a, salvation is by grace and not by works. You can see that in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But notice B. We can become a friend of God by obeying and loving Him. Our good works are encouraging to God and show Christ to mankind. Now, tonight, before we go to prayer, I just ask you this question. Are you a friend of God? Now remember, friends go to war with each other. Friends are going the same direction. Ahab and Jehoshaphat. One was saved, one was not. You can't be a friend of God and a friend of the world. You and I have to say, Lord, I want to be your friend. And we take all of our sin, we empty our pockets, and say, Lord, nothing between you and I. And the world sees you and I and says, there goes a real Christian. But when we become a friend of God, there's a closeness that when we talk about the Lord, it's different than the world. And folks, tonight, every one of us in this room need to be a friend of God. Everybody here, you need to be able to get on your knees tonight and say, Lord, would you bless and pick somebody's name? And the Lord says, I'm listening, son. I'm listening, daughter. It's important that you and I are friends enough with God that we say, Lord, I need this answer to prayer. And He's close enough to you to say, I'm listening. I'll work with you on it. I'll answer it. You know, tonight, if we don't walk right, we can't talk to Him right. Every one of us in this room, and the book of James, and I want to close with this verse. Take your Bible and turn to James chapter 3. And notice this, James chapter 3. And you'll see again that he's writing to Christians. And he's writing to Christians about their testimony. Notice this, verse 10. This is 3:10, James 3:10. Out of the mouth, out of the same mouth, proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, saints, these things ought not so to be. So he's saying, look, you can't curse a little bit and be good to people and brag on people a little bit and praise people a little bit and anybody think you're real. Tonight, could I ask you this question? Are you a friend of God? You can't bless people and curse things and the Lord be your friend. He said, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Now, You go to a lot of churches and nobody will say anything about this. They'll say you shouldn't sin, but they won't define it. James defines it. He said, you can't say, I killed somebody, but I didn't commit adultery, so I didn't break the law. He says, look, every sin, one sin makes you a sinner. You lose your testimony. You can't do that. You can't talk good about people and over here curse something, and people to hear you say, oh, there goes a great Christian. Tonight, are we real? That's the book of James. It's a tremendous book. It will convict your heart if there's any sin in your pocket, inside your heart. So tonight, my encouragement is all of us. Say, Lord, search me. If there's any wicked way in me, forgive me. Let me get it right. So that God can be your friend and you can be His friend. Let's bow our heads toward a prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse, an invitation hymn. And maybe you're here tonight and maybe there's something going on in your life this week and you kind of stubbed your toe as a Christian. Tell the Lord you're sorry. Become His friend again. Tell Him, Lord, I don't want that in my life. And maybe you're here tonight, you know someone that's struggling. Pray for them. Lift them up. Folks, tonight, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, if you say, Pastor, if I died today, I don't know if I go to heaven or not. Could I encourage you to come to me and I'll help you get it settled for all eternity? But tonight, the major thrust of the message is show your faith. Let people see that you love the Lord because you're real. Father, speak to hearts tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would help the people in this room to be completely clean. Lord, it doesn't matter how the week's gone. We could right here say, Lord, I'm truly sorry. And He'll put it behind us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be your friend tonight and desire to be your friend tomorrow and every day this forward. Lord, would you speak to heart tonight? Hear our prayers as we lift them to you. In your name we pray. Amen.